Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Good morning and welcome to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin. Today on the show, the Lakers played a preseason game in Phoenix, and to the surprise of nobody, Jay Crowder pulled a dick move. So the Lakers lose to the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix tonight in preseason game number 2. They lose 117-105. LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, all do not play tonight. Ariza is still nursing that kind of bum ankle. LeBron and Russ are taking their time. I can understand why those guys didn't play. I kind of predicted it. It was funny. The information about who was going to be available came out basically right after I recorded yesterday's lowdown. But I predicted that some of, if not all of, the main guys wouldn't be playing in this one because of the time that they were going to be playing. It was a 3 p.m. tip Pacific time, 5 o'clock out here my time, 4 o'clock where they were actually playing the game. They did so because there was a WNBA playoff game that the Phoenix Mercury were playing in. And, obviously, right call to move up the NBA game that doesn't matter so that you can still have the WNBA game in prime time. But I thought that I would have been surprised to see all of the Lakers play in this one, not just because it's just game number 2, but again, because of that tip-off time. So it showed me a couple things. One, that the Lakers, I think, still really need another wing. Another wing who with NBA on-court experience. No slander or no knock on Austin Reeves, but I don't think he is going to be a productive NBA player this year. And if Trevor Ariza is hurt, and like we just saw in this one, if LeBron can't go or whatever, that leaves the Lakers really thin in terms of bigger wing type bodies. And we saw tonight where AD played more 5 and almost played, I think, only 5. I don't think he didn't spend any time out there with DeAndre Jordan too. And that forced the Lakers into a bunch of multiple guard lineups where they weren't very big or very physical. And so it was Anthony Davis or DeAndre Jordan out there with a bunch of guards. Occasionally, Carmelo Anthony plays 17 minutes. But when you have those, that many guards alongside AD, that and those guards being not particularly great defenders leads to a lot of penetration, leads to a lot of offensive rebounding opportunities. When DeAndre Jordan was out there, Phoenix was getting pretty much whatever they wanted in the pick and roll. So either Jordan was too deep to go out and contest, or he was so deep that they were able to fully turn the corner and just kind of pick him apart. And he was forced to contest late, which takes him away from the basket. Now you have 4 rebounders all being undersized, and the Lakers really got kind of slaughtered. Getting out rebounded in this one, 52-40. So not exactly ideal there. In terms of players that we saw, I still think there were some good things though. I thought it was pretty clear that Anthony Davis was still kind of going through the motions, not exactly attacking the rim with any real force. He finishes the game with 14 points, 8 boards to go with a couple blocks, a couple steals, a couple assists. 5 of 14 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3-point range, 3 of 6 from the free throw line. 6 free throws is good, but I thought that he is still pretty clearly, not really looking to play too high above the rim until he absolutely has to. So, but still, given the fact that he was going, I would say about 60% out there, still had some moments that where he really reminds you on both ends of the court. Oh yeah, that's right. That is Anthony Davis. Another player who continued to impress here was Malik Monk. He finishes the game with 18 points, 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range, and boy, his shot is pure. It's pure, it's quick, it's an easy stroke. The ball just kind of explodes off of his hand, so it doesn't look like he has to put too much effort into getting the ball to the rim from three-point range. It's going to be really difficult to ward him off legitimate rotational minutes. You see other guards tonight. You had Talen Horton-Tucker play 24 minutes. He goes for 11 points, 5 turnovers, 3 of 7 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3-point range. Okay game, I thought. I thought there were some good things and some bad things that he did. He still is, I think, taking one dribble too many per possession. Other guards out there, you had Kendrick Nunn. He goes for 11 points also. 5 of 12 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3-point range, couple assists. Again, nothing to really write home about, especially in comparison to the aforementioned Monk. So that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch here, the way that those rotational minutes go down. With the backup guard spots, Rajon Rondo played 18 minutes tonight, scored 4 points with 5 assists, and it was a typical Rondo game, I thought. So I just think of the guards, and if there is like an open competition for that secondary guard spot, Monk has, I would say, made the loudest case for himself. And then Frank Vogel said after practice the other day that Kent Bazemore has made a lot of noise because of his athleticism and length with one of those wing spots as well. So look, it's great to see Monk play this way, and it looks like a really promising fit there, especially as more guys get back healthy. I mentioned it at the top, and I have seen the clip. I've watched the tape a few times over, and I've slowed it down, and it really appeared that Jay Crowder tried to, at the very least, trip up Anthony Davis when he didn't have to. Gave him a little shove, stepped on the back of his foot. I just think there's no place for that in preseason basketball, and Crowder is, you know, a villain, not just with the Lakers fan base, but just in general, he has pulled a bunch of dirty stuff in the past. It would have been nice to see Dwight Howard out there so that if they saw that tape at halftime, Dwight could come out and let Jay know that that is not something that the Lakers are going to stand for. It's going to be interesting to see also after the Lakers watch some of this tape. If I was a video coordinator, I would make sure to throw it in the highlight reel just so that the Lakers all see, hey, not only did Crowder speed up, but he kind of detoured over a little bit. And then after he stepped on Anthony Davis's foot, he gives him a nice little shove to make sure he really goes down. I just thought, look, even if let's just say it was unintentional, Jay Crowder just slips or whatever. There are ways to avoid contact with a player who is like 5-7 feet in front of you. And in the preseason, there is no need to be that close in the open court when the ball is on the opposite side of the floor to somebody who is clearly running back towards the ball, away from the lane that Jay Crowder was filling. I thought it was a dirty play. I think it's continued dirtiness from Jay Crowder. And, you know, I wouldn't mind a little retribution should Dwight Howard be on the court with Jay Crowder again in a future game. Nothing to, I don't want Crowder to get hurt or anything like that. I just think for the Lakers, they got to remind this guy that's not all right. You can't pull that shit in the preseason. Next preseason game for the Lakers isn't until Friday, so we will have plenty of reaction and stuff in terms of quotes and analysis on the website and on this pod feed. Speaking of this pod feed, I recorded and posted a conversation that I had with Chris Harrington earlier today. It was a blast. We get into what he is hearing league-wide about the Lakers and how teams feel about them. We discuss LeBron James and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem has now gone at LeBron and the anti-vaxxing community in the NBA very strongly now a couple times. So he and I discussed that. And then we finish with a conversation about the 90s Knicks because of his book that he is releasing in January called Blood in the Garden, The Flagrant History of the 1990s New York Knicks. So check that out, both in terms of the book, get your pre-orders in, and then also in terms of the conversation that I had with Chris. It was a blast. It was really, really good. He was very giving with his time, and we had a really good time chatting it up. Until tomorrow, I'm Anthony Irwin, saying have a good one.